Appreciate you being here, and let's ask God to bless, and we'll move ahead. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you that it opens to us the mind of Christ. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Himself is the Word of God, and that as we study Your written Word, we also know more and understand more of the living Word, the Lord Jesus Himself, and we need that. So we pray Your help with that. We ask this morning as we take a look at this portion of Scripture that You give us understanding and wisdom. We thank You that You're God who loves to provide that for us, and we depend on You for it. We ask Your blessing then in Jesus' name. Amen. We've most recently talked about the concept of different kinds of people that were identified in the last part of chapter 2 and the first part of chapter 3. And with that understanding, we saw that there was a person who would be considered the natural man, the natural person. And that person was identified as being unsaved, needing the gospel, having no real place in the body of Christ. And yet, we find in today's culture, especially in North America, that there's a number of unsaved people who are influential in the church. Some of them even leaders in the church. And that creates enormous problems. We also saw that at the same time, there are those who are spiritual people, people of growth, people of maturity, people whose hearts have been captured by the Lord Jesus and are living for Him. And we thank God for every one of those. I'm thrilled that we have a number of very spiritual people in this church. And I want to address that issue. What does it really mean? Study that for a few minutes before we move on. We also saw that baby Christians were an excellent part of the body of Christ. In fact, every local church needs lots of babies. Now, we've done an excellent job of that in this church in the sense of human offspring, but we need to continue the process of evangelism so that there's more and more and more new birth spiritually among us. Being born again is a very important biblical concept, and we want new birth. So that calls on all of us who are spiritual people to have a heart and a desire to reach out to others who don't know the Lord Jesus yet. And through one-on-one relationships, through small group Bible studies, through any number of methodologies, we would reach out to them and seek to win them to Christ. Now, it's all a work that the Spirit of God does, but He says we are to be His witnesses, and so we need to be involved in that process. But that's a work for spiritual people. It's also a work that babies do. Babies influence other people. Babies have a wonderful testimony, an exciting sparkle to their lives. And so we want to carefully nurture them and provide for them. And then there was that fourth category of people known as those who are still babies. They have not progress. They have not grown. And that's a problem. And again, in the local church, we find such folk. We find those who, through some sort of rebellion or reasoning that says, I'm not going to continue the growth process, they stunt what God wants to do in their lives and remain still babies. Paul says to those people, at a time when you should have been teachers yourselves, you are still in need of being fed. So we trust that we don't have a lot of those folk, but if they exist, then we want to challenge them and encourage them. We want them to come to repentance, to confess what it is that is keeping them from the growth process. We delight in those who are spiritual, and we want to make sure that we communicate and minister to those people. What does it mean? And I want to be quick to tell you, this is a Leverance opinion. There are many opinions out there. This is my opinion. It's only worth that much. So, and it's gone. But anyway, let me share it with you anyway. You search this out. What does the Scripture say as a spiritual person? Here's what I found. A spiritual person is one who loves God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That heart being the very center of our person. It includes our emotions. And there's an awful lot to be excited about when we start thinking about God. Some of you have seen the video that we showed here a few weeks ago. Louis Giglio, How Great Is Our God. By the way, where are those copies? Anybody still have a copy of those? Alrighty, get it watched and bring it back so somebody else can watch it if you have it. If you don't have it yet, you'll want to grab it. That reminds me. Here's another great DVD, same guy. In fact, this is the first of the series, Indescribable, and then How Great Is Our God. So if you're interested in watching it backwards, that video is available. When you watch that, it creates an emotional charge, at least it did for me. I said, wow. Well, that's exactly what God expects from us. A fear, an appreciation, but the center of our being excited, being focused on God. Some days we say, well, you know what, I just don't feel like being excited about God. Well, then we need to get ourselves in a position where we can have that emotional involvement, but it's not all about feelings. In that case, the heart also includes our will, that choice-making mechanism. I don't feel like loving God, but you know what? I'm going to choose to love God. Can you do that? Yes, you chose your socks. You can choose to love God. You can choose to love your spouse. You can choose to love others. It's a choice that we make. And so we want to make sure that we're focusing our understanding on this concept. My will needs to be submitted to God in such a way that I choose to serve and love Him. Also involved in the heart is the concept of our intellect. And so we take what we know of God and we say, I choose that, and that often stirs our emotions to the point where we're even willing to say, I will worship God, I will serve God, I will live for God. That isn't all. He said, love Him with your heart, but He also says your soul, your appetites, your desires. And again, lots of different definitions, but those are the ones that have touched my heart. The concept of making God my desire. Perhaps you've read or heard of John Piper, read some of his information. Much of what he has to write centers around the concept of desiring God. And the idea is when we're most satisfied with God is when we're in the best position that we can be. So our desires, our soul, our appetites need to have a focus on God. And then he says with your strength. And it seems to me that has the idea of more and more and more. And not content with a little workout and a little development, but more and more. And so that's what I'm looking for in my own life. That's what I want in the body of Christ. That's what we really want to push each other to. A heart that really loves God. And when we do that, it seems to me that... there we go. That love motivates us. Love motivates obedience. Obedience motivates love. Isn't that interesting? Love motivates humility. Humility motivates love. Love motivates us to trust. Trusting God motivates us to love. You say, well, that's just a big circle. Well, it's kind of a spiral. And it can be an upward bound one. And we want to make sure that our hearts are challenged in these areas. But being spiritual calls on us to love God. Let's go a little further. Being spiritual means that we need to be obedient. We need to choose obedience. If you love me, John said, the Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. So I really see this concept of obedience as being a real key in the growth process. That is a display that is displayed in fruit in our lives. When there is obedience, God adds this wonderful fruit. And we've gone to Galatians and so on where we know about the fruit of the Spirit. But that's a blessing that comes from God. And those who are true believers in Christ, those who are walking in a way that pleases the Lord, will bear fruit. John 15 says, you abide in me and the fruit will grow. Well, that's what we want. We would suggest that that requires walking in the Spirit. And Paul writes this in Galatians 5. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Let's keep looking. If we walk in the flesh, no fruit. And Paul writes, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. This is the fruit, if you will, of walking in the flesh. Look at that horrible list. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. None of which are pleasing to God. Truthfully, none of these are pleasing to other people. And when we come right down to it, none of these are pleasing to ourselves. So we need very definitely to steer away from those things. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, factions, envy, all of those are involved in every relationship if we're walking in the flesh. And those are the kinds of things that destroy relationships. Those are the kinds of things that destroy local churches. What was the big problem that we're talking about as far as chapters 1 through 4? Division. Here you see it. These are things of division. And the things of division come from people who walk in the flesh. No, we can't have that. So Paul says, why don't we do it this way? Let's be fruitful. Let's walk in the Spirit and see what that produces. Now take a look. Compare the last list with this list. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who doesn't want that? That's the way I want you to treat me. That's the fruit I want to see in your life so that I can have a happy, productive life. Come on, everybody. Do this for me. No, that's not the point. The point is this. Lev, if you walk in the Spirit, your life will show the fruit of love. That's a very attractive quality. That's a delicious grape. That's wonderful stuff. Peace. I missed one. Joy. There'll be peace. There'll be goodness. I'm sorry. Peace, patience, kindness. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a whole bunch of people that had nothing but kindness in their lives? Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Folks, those are the ingredients of healthy relationships. Those are the ingredients of a healthy church. That is what happens when people make the choice to walk in the Spirit. Now again, those who are natural people have no capacity for this whatsoever. And so we shouldn't even expect these things. In fact, one of the real problems that I find in Christianity is that we teach that you need to be loving and then you need to be patient and then you need to have self-control. And we don't teach the fact that if you don't have God's Holy Spirit within, those things are impossible for you. You can show glimmers of it. But once you have God's Holy Spirit, and let's grab this with both hands, once you have God's Spirit, acquired how, by the way? How does a person get a hold of the Holy Spirit? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is, the truth is, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's through trust in Christ alone. For payment for our sins. For our eternal salvation. And then beyond that, for every breath that we take every day of our lives. A dependence on Christ. A trust in Christ. And when we do that, God's Holy Spirit is there to support us, to strengthen us. How many are capable of doing that all by themselves? Raise your hand. Good. I'm glad nobody raised. Oh, sorry. None of us are capable. But here again, God provides His Holy Spirit to empower us, to motivate us, to challenge us. And over again, we see that this beautiful blessing that God has done for us in granting us eternal life is filled with everything we need. In fact, 1 Peter says that. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that. Read 2 Peter 1 when you get a moment and see the things that God has provided for every one of us who have faith in the Lord Jesus. And these are the things that will flow out of our lives when we walk according to His Spirit. In fact, the last phrase says, against such things there is no law. Isn't that cool? I love that. You have to, let's see if I can go backwards. You have to make laws against those things, don't you? Otherwise, society would be, well, we'd all end up, no society, it'd be gone. We have to have laws against those kinds of things. What about this bunch? No, you don't need any laws there. In fact, this is really what every person longs for in life. And you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, have access to that. You can live that way. What a wonderful thing. Galatians 5 says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We need Jeff here. Jeff is learning about walking in step like nobody else, right? People in the military get this one drilled in their heads. Walk in step. Here's God's Holy Spirit, and He takes a step, and all of us need to follow. He takes another step, and all of us need to follow. And when we live our lives that way, we are fruitful, we are happy, we are fulfilled, we are all the things that God wants and we want for our lives. So let's choose this methodology. Now, be real quick. Let me see what my next page of notes says. Okay. Be real quick in understanding here that your natural tendency is not these things. Right? In fact, the natural tendency would be toward these things. And so even as believers, those who Christ has died for, those whose lives have been transformed, they need to willingly, lovingly choose this kind of life. Let me try and illustrate what I'm talking about. Betty and I have a near perfect marriage. Why did you laugh? Okay. Yeah. Our marriage has all kinds of flaws and holes in it. She has to actually live with me. Can you imagine what a burden that is for that poor woman? And I'm serious about this. But you know what? In the last few years of our marriage, we found that if we choose to care for each other and choose to love each other and choose to be nice to each other, that our relationship kind of sparkles. It's kind of cool. In fact, yeah, I kind of like being married to her. And she says the same. But honey, go ahead. Isn't that true? Thank you. Thank you. I'll take you out to lunch. Yeah. We can choose those nice things. Now, I have a tendency to choose the negative, and I can be real nasty. I can be real grumpy. I can have a real quick temper. I can do all kinds of things that hurt our relationship. But if I'm walking in the Spirit, and I choose the things of the Spirit of God, He empowers me. I don't have the power by myself, but He empowers me to actually start to be kind of a nice person. A person that Betty actually enjoys being with. A person that she says, you know what? If I didn't have you, I don't think I could go on living. Whoa! I like hearing that stuff. But it's not about me. It's about what God can do in my life. Does she experience the other? Yeah. She gets those other things all the time. And here's where it's beautiful. When she is choosing to walk in the Spirit, even when I'm being a jerk, she can actually help change my attitude and change my heart by her loving demeanor. Sometimes her loving demeanor says, hey, you're being a jerk. Now just stop. Okay, yeah, I get the message. That's some of the highest good that she could do for me. But sometimes she's even patient with me. Sometimes she even serves me when I'm being a toad. And the very things that I long for in life, she can display to me. I've seen it happen. And it actually has an impact on me. So I say, whoa, I've got to change this. Now, could I take advantage of Betts? rapture. But if she waits, let me get this straight. If neither one of us ever make a choice to move in the right direction and wait for the other person, we're going to be waiting a long time. And so what we really have to do is say, you know, by God's grace, through the Holy Spirit's power, I want to be that kind of person. I'm going to choose it, even if Betty's a little bit crabby. Even if Betty's a little ornery today. Even if she's a little lazy today. That doesn't happen often, but okay. And she does the same thing, and you know what? That's a blessing. And it encourages and helps us. All right. Well, we're going to move ahead. Any questions? Any discussion? I haven't stopped lately and say, is there any controversy? Is there any difference of opinion on this? Because now would be a great time to bring it up. I have a very limited capacity, and so I'd appreciate any help I can get. Other points of view? Things that might be helpful to add? Personal testimonies about how wonderful I am? Anything? Oh, I hate to move ahead. I know there's some great things brewing out there. All right. Let's attempt to be those who walk in the Spirit. Well, we're going to move. The next section, or at least from in chapter 3, at the end of verse 4, Paul is suggesting that if you follow those people who are causing problems, it's just going to get worse and worse. And we'll figure out who those people are pretty easily. So the next question seems to arise in the next segment. Well, just who is it that I should follow? And he makes it clear, and I'm not going to read it now, but let me just quickly go through these things. We've got a couple minutes left. The idea is, follow the servant. Now, wait. We should follow the leader type, right? Well, this is the kind of leader that the Lord Jesus has put forward as far as His church is concerned. This is what He told His disciples over and over again. In fact, I was reading this morning where He said, if you want to be really great, if you want to be the big dog in the kingdom, what should you do? Servant of all. The servant. We don't have many servants in our culture. Some cultures have thousands of servants. Lee, you're from Singapore. Do you have servants in the homes? Yeah, lots of it. You understand this. Okay? But I don't know much about it. I've never had a servant. So I don't really know a lot about this. But I can go to Scripture and I can find out. John chapter 13, there was one man who demonstrated servanthood. Anybody remember who that is in that passage? A foot washer type? Who? The Lord Jesus Himself served His disciples, washed their feet, took the lowliest position, did the most menial job, and washed their feet. And He said, now look, that's the model. If I, your Lord and Master, have served you, then be very certain that you serve one another. Well, Paul says much the same thing. If I want someone to follow as far as a model, as far as being involved in the whole process of growth and development, follow the servant. That's the person who must be entirely dependent on God. Now, the rest of Scripture really dovetails with this. And it's an excellent study if you would take the time to track some of this down. Other writings, especially by Paul and in the Gospels, you'll see that this concept comes roaring out. If there's a person who's to be the leader among us, he's to be the servant. If I'm going to choose who I follow, Paul says the wise person follows the servant type. The servant type is a person whose life is dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's God, verse 7, who's at the heart of every ministry. It's God who provides the growth and the development and the benefit of whatever ministry it is. And so we want to make certain that we are following the man God, man and woman, that God would have us follow. All right? And then as you read verses 8 and 9, you see that it's a wonderful team dimension. that it doesn't happen if somebody says, follow me, and takes the lead. But there's this wonderful teamwork. And again, that's supported in, when we get to chapter 12, that'll be 2014, I think. Anyway, when we get to chapter 12, it's very much supported in that the church is compared to a body, and how every part of the body needs to be making contribution. And so it's this team concept that we look at, and the team concept. But, he says, all of you need to be involved in this important building, or you can use the word growth, in this important concept. Now, again, we're getting into the next several verses. This go up through about verse 14 or 15, and you may want to read that even while I'm talking. Paul says, you know what? Those of you involved in leadership, those of you who are those servant types, understand this. You need to be very careful as to how you do your work. He calls it a building process. You need to understand that this is a very, very critical factor. Talked a little bit about growth in the teamwork. Now he's going to switch his analogy and talk about a building. And in order to do it well, let's be careful how we build. First thing, build on the foundation. I think it's verse 11. Does anybody have their finger on chapter 3, verse 11? Someone read that for me. Sorry, I can't hear you. A little louder. Chapter 3, verse 11. Which is in Jesus Christ. That's our foundation, people. That's where we get our stability and our strength. And we always want to make certain that what we're doing is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be the concept of building in His name, wouldn't it? Taking Christ's ideas, Christ's desires, Christ's will, and living that out. Living it in the name of the Lord Jesus. He also suggests that we use quality materials. And he said, look, there's junk that you can do in this building process that's just going to get burned up. He calls it wood, hay, straw, I think. It depends on what translation you have. And if you use those kinds of materials and do sloppy craftsmanship, it's going to go up in flames. On the other hand, there are quality materials. The gold, the jewels, the silver, the precious stones. And his suggestion is, I want to make certain that not only am I building on the foundation, but that I'm choosing quality materials. You know what? This is where we get our quality materials. This is the building material. And we need this. And we need to constantly be going back to this as the framework or the ground of what we're using as far as our ministry is concerned. Be lots of different ways that you can serve other people. But if you want to make sure that service is the gold and the jewels, make certain that it's based on and follows the Word of God. Wise builders, he says, receive a reward. Neat. Foolish builders suffer loss. Then he makes this very, very important statement, chapter 3, and let me make sure I have my verse right. Verse 16. Realize this, that we are building His temple. His temple. Now, who is that? Do you not know, verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now let me make certain that we understand something here. In chapter 6, you can go to the verses, it's about 18, 19, 20, somewhere in chapter 6, he clearly states that you are the temple of God, that you are the residing place of God's Holy Spirit. You in chapter 6 is singular. meaning you, Micah, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Here in chapter 3, he says, you. And my understanding is that it's a plural concept. Here he's talking about the body of Christ, the church. You are the temple. Yes, individually, you are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. But we also collectively are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. Again, you see the wisdom of God. This beautiful bride that he's saving for himself and cleansing for himself is that wonderful church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. There's all different names, but they all are related to the same individuals. It's you. It's us. Us in fellowship with God through His Holy Spirit, through the work that Jesus Christ accomplished, the work of the cross. And it brings all of it together in focus and says, you folks are the temple of God, and God's Spirit dwells in you. You see, what we're doing here this morning is incredibly important. This is a gathering of individual temples where we communicate and share and build one another as part of the temple. And down the street and around the corner are other people who are evangelical, that is, they've put their faith in Christ, they're Bible-believing, they're people whose lives have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus. And they, too, are part of this body of Christ. And someday, Jesus is coming back, and I think it's going to be soon. Jesus is coming back, literally, physically. He's going to take His bride for Himself out of this world. That'll be a wonderful time for the bride. It'll be a horrible time when that influence is gone here on earth. A couple things for us to keep in mind then. We have a huge responsibility. There's much to do. We're His temple. We're the dwelling place of the living God. And when He asks us to live for Him, we need to do it. I'm going to continue to press ahead. Let me stop there. Another key point, key step in all this. Any contributions that anyone would make, please add to this. Yes, JP. I'm not going to say you're off. I have not thought of it in those terms, and so I will be treading on totally new territory here to give you an opinion. So if you give me a week, isn't that what Jay Smith said? If you give me a week, I'll do some thinking on that. I appreciate you as well. Anyone else here have some background on that that could help us out right away? I think he's taking 13 through 6 through 17. Is that right? About destroying the temple.
Right.
Okay. KT, comment? Interesting there. Again, I need a week. That would be utterly foolish of me to start sharing an opinion now because I really have never even thought about that. Darren? Two cents? And we see that in chapter 11, where there was abuses against the Lord's Supper. See it in Acts chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Good thought. Well, go ahead. Other thoughts? All right. JP is going to lead us in the study, and we're all going to try and pursue this a bit and see if we can get some deeper understanding of what this is all about. I'm going to stop there. I had mentioned that Theron would be taking over in November, but that was not the understanding Theron had. So he is not going to take over for November. So I will move ahead and attempt to cover this ground until we get the master teacher here. January sometime, correct? So hang in there, folks. Keep looking forward. Father, take these things. Cause us to search your word. Cause us to understand more of what you have to say. You haven't made these things in the total darkness. You want us to know the light. And so I pray that you'll help us as we search now for the answers to these questions that have been raised, and also search for application of the truths that you've presented to us this morning to our lives. God, we want to be people who walk in the Spirit. We pray your help with that and ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take...